Welcome back. Another week of Star Chat is here, along with Jared Sandler. I am Ari Temkin. This is your Star Chat, where we chat about the stars, or the Dallas Cowboys, whose logo is the star.
We can talk about the stars. They started their preseason schedule.
There's other stars in town, is what you're saying?
There are.
Oh, I thought there was just one star. The star that Jamal Adams from Carrollton has tattooed on his...
So it is a Dallas Stars logo.
Yeah.
Is he a big Dallas Stars fan?
No, it's the Cowboys star is what I think it is.
No, Sean Sharif tweeted something.
Well,
that
he's
I saw.
From Carrollton, so either case, either instance could be either he's a big Stars fan or he's a big Cowboys fan or both. Or
I mean, that's impressive though. If
the
he's
stars
a big Stars
at night
fan.
Are big and bright. Maybe he's just a big fan of Texas and the Lone Star. I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now. It is a. I mean, maybe he just likes the logo and found a different meaning. But it is the Dallas Stars new. It's the new logo, too. We're not talking like old school logo. We're talking new Kelly Green or whatever they want, a Victory Green star. I mean, that's maybe he's a pretty dedicated Dallas Stars fan. He's got it just above the right knee.
So just so everybody's clear, they should trade for Jamal Adams. They're not like the rumor that he's available. Like, it's being pulled out of thin air. This is – sometimes we kind of overanalyze social media tendencies and habits, and I think this is an instance in which we have, and then now we're – like, you kind of – you get this thing, and it confirms what you want. It's a confirmation bias thing. Like, oh, he's unfollowed these teams. He's – like, there is a 0% chance that the Jets are trading him. He's one of the best young safeties in football. They have him under control for cheap.
He's their best player, right?
He's their best player. He's really good. He's arguably the best safety in football. Like there is zero chance he's getting traded. But if he were to be traded, the Cowboys should trade for him.
Absolutely.
They should definitely trade a first round pick for Jamal Adams, which is, if you're the Jets, that's not going to happen. He's not available.
No.
A guy the Cowboys didn't trade for was Minka Fitzpatrick. Jared, should they have traded for Minka Fitzpatrick?
My guess is that they were interested in Minka Fitzpatrick, and they actually put an offer on the table. But at the end of the day, when Ben Roethlisberger goes down, that Pittsburgh pick could be a top five pick. And I don't, you know, the Cowboys pick is probably going to be a bottom five first round pick.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know at that point that they'd be able to compete, you know, because even so now let's say you go a first and a third. And if you want to make an argument that they should have done a first and a third or a first and a fourth, you're still. I mean, the first and a fourth is essentially a full round worse than Pittsburgh's first and fourth. You know, and Pittsburgh, they only gave up a first. Is that right?
And then I think they swapped fourth and fifth. But
yeah.
But let me ask you, if you're the GM of the Dolphins, would you rather have the Steelers first or the Cowboys first and third or the Cowboys first and fourth?
I think if I'm giving up Minka Fitzpatrick and in the spirit of tanking in which they are pursuing that ideal – I think getting a potential top five pick is more valuable.
Right. The Cowboys couldn't offer anything beyond multiple first round picks, which would have been stupid to get him.
Yeah, that's not worth it at that point to me.
Right. You and I were talking a little bit before we started this show today. I think we're both under the same impression. The Cowboys would have been stupid not to offer a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick. He's a really good player. He can play a bunch of different positions. He's cheap. You have him for the next 4 years. It's a no-brainer. I would certainly trade for a win now team a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick. We don't know if they did or they didn't. I'm assuming they did, or at least were in the discussion, but the Dolphins probably made the better trade, which was to the Steelers, which, as you mentioned, I think it's a 62%. That's top 10.
Yeah. I mean, that's – listen, Mason Rudolph, with all due respect, like, not happening. And they're already 0-2, so it's not like they're 2-0.
Right.
I wonder this, too, and I know that we try to look at these deals as, well – then the domino effect means you're actually trading for this, this, and that because of what's going to happen. And it doesn't always work out that way. But to me, trading for Minka Fitzpatrick also gives you more freedom to not pay Byron Jones and thus gives you more money to allocate to whether it's getting the Dak deal done or signing another guy that you already have to an extension or a free agent, whatever it might be. It's not – you're not just getting Minka Fitzpatrick. You're getting even more freedom to not keep Byron Jones long-term, and then that money gets allocated elsewhere.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, which is probably the reason to the next trade candidate, you're not interested in Jalen Ramsey. I mean, there's five reasons why you're not trading for Jalen Ramsey, but certainly one of them is, unlike Fitzpatrick, you have to trade him right away, or you have to pay him right away, kind of like Amari Cooper. You're trading for this guy. You're trading a first-round pick probably for this guy, and then you're having to pay him. He's also not exactly a Garrett guy, as it were.
Yeah, don't know that he's necessarily falling in line, but I think Jalen Ramsey falls in line when the team's winning. The problem is, in football, more than other sports, as much as we'd like to sit here and say, well, the Cowboys are going to win for the next 3 to 5 years, it just doesn't work out that way. And the minute
unless they have Bill Belichick.
Unless they have, yes.
Don't think they're going to hire him.
No, don't think so. The minute something goes bad, or badly, bad grammar on my part. The minute something goes badly or poorly, which is a little smoother, it seems like he's going to bark. And
right.
You know, the Cowboys have had guys like that. And Jason Garrett, I think one of his big strengths is keeping everyone together despite different personalities. But you're going to give up a lot in terms of assets, and then you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
And the question is, do you need – I mean, that's you're giving up like three times as much what you'd essentially give up for Minka, because you don't – as you mentioned, you don't have to pay Minka for a while. You have to pay Jalen pretty soon. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think
– he's damn good though.
He is. He's really good. And Jerry was on Sean and RJ and basically said, you know, that this week, you know, that if there's a player out there that is a, you know, game changer for them, they're going to make them deal to make it happen. I don't know that they view Ramsey in that regard, but you're right. He's a damn good football player. This week, the Cowboys cut bait with former first-round pick Taco Charlton. This is a guy that grossly underperformed relative to expectations as a first-round pick. They needed to open up a roster spot for Robert Quinn, who's being activated. Jared, where do you start with the Taco Charlton discussion?
Well, we saw this coming, right? Didn't we discuss this last week that, you know, if they weren't going to move him at this point, it seemed like based on his roster status to start the year that it was done. I think, first of all, people miss on first-round picks. It's especially, this was not a top-five first-round pick. This was not a top-10 first-round pick.
The Cowboys don't. Maybe that's why it's so surprising.
Sure, they don't. Typically, they've been great in that regard. I've always been a big, you know, you draft the talent, you figure it out. All right, so maybe T.J. Watt didn't fit, and I this is the very, you know, this is the most popular narrative, but I agree with it. You know, if he was the better player, you draft him, you figure it out. And you know what? If you draft the better player and it doesn't work, then I'd rather take my losses that way than drafting the lesser player just because of fit. Because you know what? It didn't fit. And I remember there being question marks surrounding Taco when they drafted him. But I'll say this again. This isn't easy. I'd say, 32 first-round picks. How many of them hit? I mean, and how many of them hit after the top 16? And so you're not always going to find a winner. And the idea is right. Like, you sell it. It's an easy sell. Listen, yeah, we think T.J. Watt might be a little bit better. And I don't know if they ever really said that. But he don't fit anything what we're trying to do. Taco is a perfect fit what we're trying to do. So it all makes sense. You're not going to hit on every pick. But I do think it's tougher to swallow when you don't hit, when there was a guy out there who it seems like across the board most people thought was the better player, even if he didn't fit in your scheme.
Yeah, I mean, this pick was so obviously bad.
Yeah.
The moment they made it. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen such a bad pick in real time as this one, with Watt on the board and Charlton the pick. For the reasons you just pointed out, you know, it's interesting because Rod Marinelli is the reason he's not here. And yet at the same time, Rod Marinelli is the reason he's here. Like, the whole thing was Rod Marinelli pounded his fists on the table for Taco. He's a better scheme fit. And, you know, and people will tell you what they heard from the folks in Michigan was that he was entitled, which, like, the Cowboys then heard that. The Cowboys had to hear that. So I think your point's well stated. Most teams miss more often than the Cowboys in the first round, and you chalk it up to that. I think the other thing, too, is this draft is still pretty good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's still a really good draft.
Which is crazy because they ended up getting Noah Brown in the seventh round, who's a really valuable player for them. And they got three corners, looks like, out of it, with Cheeto, Jordan Lewis, and Xavier Woods all being a part of that draft. So, but ultimately, and Kavanaugh pointed this out, and I think it's really important. I'm a big draft don't draft on need, draft on best available guy. And it seems like the Cowboys' two worst picks, and I'm going with worst picks here with two games into Tristan Hill's career.
It was a need. He was a need guy.
Right. Another need guy. And, you know, he's a guy that's been inactive in his first two starts. He's a long way from Taco Charlton territory, and he's a second-round pick. But just – and the Cowboys have done a pretty good job of drafting best available on their board. However, we don't really know this because we don't know the motivation for every pick they've made, and they certainly have made more than two, you know, positional picks over the course of the last 10 years. But it certainly seems like their overall overarching draft policy is to take the best available player, and that is always the way that a team should go. And I guess just the one parting thing with Taco was, you know, it's unbelievable how quickly that was a bust and how quickly it was obvious they should have taken T.J. Watt. Like it was obvious from the moment that the pick was handed over to the commissioner.
So what I'll say, I will say one thing. I'm just looking at that draft, and the top defensive end was Myles Garrett.
Number one overall pick.
Yeah. Then at number three was Solomon Thomas, and he has not been very good at all.
Right.
And so I think, and if I remember, because I always go once a year, I'll hang with KT, Broadus, and Jeff at the Star while they watch film for a night. It's just honestly, you know, those guys bust their ass. You know, they give up a lot of nights, and maybe I'm being presumptuous and thinking that those are two of my good friends and they would enjoy my company because my wife might tell you otherwise. But I go and I hang out with them and, you know, I bring dinner and just kind of chill. But, I listen to the conversations they have. And the night I was there in advance of that draft, Solomon Thomas was one of the guys they looked at. I remember the conversations being, man, there are a lot of question marks from the guys who fit that sort of position type. You know, Myles Garrett was not a guy they questioned. The other thing, though, I don't think that T.J. Watt was a guy they questioned. They loved T.J. Watt. They knew he wasn't going to be a top 10 pick, but they loved T.J. Watt. And it's just interesting because I think that in this market, Jeff and KT and Broadus have built so much credibility.
Yes.
And that's a credit to them. And what they say, like we were so much more informed about Michael Gallup before the Cowboys drafted him because they loved that guy.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise 98% of people getting ready for the draft would have no clue who Michael Gallup was. He didn't come from a big school. They love T.J. Watt. And maybe that name sticks because it's J.J. Watt's brother. But I think Cowboys fans got so excited about T.J. Watt. And when he was on the board, they got excited he was going to come here, and he didn't. And I think that it's not their fault at all because they were right. This guy's been a really good player. But I think that adds to the frustration with that. It's like we think, and this is not a shot at them, but Jeff and KT can tell us that T.J. Watt's the better player than Taco Charlton, and you can't. But at the same time, right. You take a step back and you know, Will McClay and that group, they've done a tremendous job.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you look at the consistency for which those guys hit, and especially in the first round too. Like that's the thing too, is there's lots of teams. Like the Bears took Kevin White with the top 10 pick. This guy's out of the league already and was in the 2016 draft, right? So the rate at which Will McClay and the scouting department at Stephen Jones and the coaching staff have hit in first round picks is incredible. So it's one blip, an otherwise otherworldly stretch for this organization in which, look, they were really bad for a long period of time in the draft, and it'd be great if they had T.J. Watt. It would be really good if they had T.J. Watt, but they don't, and it was a big miss, and it was obviously a big miss, and this is probably the best move for the Cowboys. So I want to talk injuries because the Cowboys have some injuries, but let's talk about defensive line first because the Cowboys' defensive line was supposed to be a strength this year. It's not through two games. I think they have two sacks through two games. If there's any concerns on defense, which I don't have many concerns, but it's certainly that. And I don't have any faith in the Cowboys. I don't have any faith in the Dolphins. The Cowboys aren't going to lose this game. But if they were, in a theoretical world, if they lost this game to the Dolphins on Sunday, it would be because a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's put up some big games in his league, doesn't get – there's no pressure from the Cowboys front. All of a sudden, Fitzpatrick completes some passes, and now he's rolling a little bit. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. But that seems like the only way the Cowboys lose – and that's my biggest concern for this defense is what this pass rush hasn't been able to do so far.
Yeah, so I look at this game as not a – and, gosh, maybe I'm going to look like an a-hole, but I'm not looking at it as, well, can they – you know, what do they need to do to win? It's right. What do they need to do to get better for the Saints and for this team?
The Dolphins are 32nd in offense and 32nd in defense. They've outscored 51-5 in two games. The Cowboys aren't losing this game.
Yeah, they're not losing the game. But you're right. Pressure on the quarterback is a number one because – we've seen time chicken or the egg. Does a great secondary lead to better pass rush or vice versa? I think it works both ways. Right. I saw it when I was covering the Lions years ago when they had Ziggy Ansah fresh out of college. They had questionable secondary players from 1 year, and then those same guys the next year got better, but that's because Ziggy Ansah started terrorizing quarterbacks. And so I think it can go both ways.
Right.
And you listen, DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back from shoulder thing, and maybe he's not full strength, but this has got to improve because the quarterbacks that you're going to have to go through to get to where you want to go will kill you with time. And the way the NFL works these days, all quarterbacks will kill you with time.
Yeah.
But we're talking about really efficient sons of guns who they will sit there and they'll either use their feet or they will wait and wait and wait. You have got to put pressure on these guys. And so is the offensive line of the Dolphins the same caliber of the offensive lines of, you know, competing teams in the NFC, especially without Laremy Tunsil? No. But you don't get penalized for beating up on bad teams. You got to use this maybe as a confidence booster for this D-line to show that they can put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, without much resistance from a Dolphins team that's, you know, not shown much life at all and doesn't have much talent, like, we need to see some pass rush. That's, to me, the biggest thing that I'm looking for out of this game. Yeah, the continued production from this offense, but I expect to see that because we've seen it in 2 weeks against bad teams and we'll see it a third week against a bad team. Like, I don't have any issues about that or questions about that. But I question the defense and specifically the defensive line because that was supposed to be one of the major strengths of this football team. And they've got, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, as you mentioned, didn't play at all in camp. So how healthy is he? Or how, you know, he's still trying to get back. And then Tyrone Crawford, you know, he's had the injury issues in the lineup. Antoine Woods is now out. So this is a game where you want to see more than anything else, you want to see the defensive line get after the quarterback because we just haven't seen it yet. And that's, you know, you don't have to have a great defense, but you do have to have a disruptive front on defense in order to be effective.
We got a question from Duncan and two questions. One about Travis Frederick. The other one is, what's your prediction for Robert Quinn and the type of impact he'll have and how much can he help what this defensive line has not done so far?
Make sure to tweet us your questions at RA Sports, at Jared Sandler, and we will answer them on a future episode. So the first question is about Robert Quinn and the type of impact that he'll have. So Quinn had that. So he was suspended, but also had a hand injury, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder how effective he'll be in trying to come back from that. You know, if he's just coming back from the suspension, I think he's going to be fine. But look, this is a guy in Quinn that's been a very, very, he's been a top flight pass rusher. Now he probably isn't still at that level, but because you've got DeMarcus Lawrence, now you enter a guy that's been a top level pass rusher on the other side that should have an impact. They've got to be able to win their one-on-one matchups when teams double team DeMarcus Lawrence. And this is a guy that should be able to do that. So certainly the infusion of Robert Quinn on the other side this week, should have a nice impact, but I also think Quinn's going to be limited because, one, they're playing the Dolphins, and two, because he's also, not only is he returning from suspension, but he's returning from injury too. So this is one of those snap count type situations to where you're trying to ease him in, where, you know, you're getting ready for next week too, because this game is not going to be very close or shouldn't be very close.
I want to ask you about tanking. Can we?
You want the Cowboys to tank? Tank for two?
Well, yeah, let's tank right now.
Time to tank.
Let's just give up on this year.
It's over.
So when the Browns went 0-16, people in their offices thought they were a 5 or 6 win team. It just didn't work out. They knew they weren't going to be good, but they didn't expect to go 0-16. That was not the plan. I don't think that's the case with the Dolphins. I think they maybe don't want to go 0-16 because of, you know, the dubiousness. Is that a word?
Sure.
Whatever. Why not? The recognition for that. But I don't think they'd be upset if they went 1-15.
Dubious distinction.
Yeah. There you go. Dubious distinction. We've seen in baseball, and listen, there's no doubt at this point that sports are aware of what trends are taking place in other sports. Some fit, some don't. We've seen in baseball two teams recently win a World Series after tanking, the Cubs and the Astros. They tanked hard.
Yeah.
We've seen NFL teams have bad years, but I don't know that we've seen NFL teams commit to full tanks.
No.
Like for tanks that... I mean, the Browns did it, but I don't know if the Browns intentionally did. The Browns tried to be good. They just were awful at trying to be
baseball
good.
Baseball and the NBA are – baseball and basketball are different sports in that the benefits of tanking in those sports are greater than in the NFL. Maybe the only instance of it would be the Colts for luck, the suck for luck thing.
But that was after Peyton got hurt.
Right.
You know, that was not
– right.
And there's a difference in the NFL because of the parity. You can have a one-year tank job. But, like, the Dolphins are not setting themselves up to be good next year. This is like a full-on strip-down. And I'm wondering, there's no doubt that there are benefits to this if you make the right decisions. It is proven. The question is whether or not it's a strategy you would advocate for, especially in football where we've seen turnarounds. I mean, hell, the Kansas City Chiefs got a second win because they drafted one player, and that's Pat Mahomes. Not that he's the only guy, but like that has helped
right.
them tremendously. We
right.
see teams go from, I mean, gosh, the Ravens. Look at what Lamar Jackson is doing for the Ravens. We've seen teams make turn. Not that the Ravens were really bad, but we've seen teams take major steps playing in the middle. I mean, the Ravens were in the middle. They weren't great. They weren't at the bottom. I know they were a playoff team last year, but they were still in that middle tier. I don't think anyone thought the Ravens were a Super Bowl team last year. So I wonder if you need to do that in the NFL. I think in baseball and I think in basketball especially, more than any other sport, if you're not a major market team, it's tough to build a championship team without getting a top 3 to 5 pick.
So I think the answer is complicated and nuanced from a standpoint of, the NFL, who am I tanking for? I'll tank for Tua.
See, I won't. No? I'm not a big Tua guy.
No?
Nope.
Trevor Lawrence?
I like Trevor Lawrence a lot more than I like Tua.
I like both of them. I would tank for both of them. I would tank this year or next year for both of them. You know, I think it's so weird because the league is so afraid of it, and yet like fans like it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a fan of the Dolphins, you'd much prefer this
than 4-12.
Then 4-12.
Or 5-8. 5-11, yeah.
Or even 8-8.
Definitely 8-8. Yeah, definitely much prefer.
So, you know, I guess it certainly doesn't look great, but I also think, like, fans embrace it. Fans of Miami are like, you almost have something to root for in a lost season, as opposed to a 4-12 or a 5-11 year, where it's like, what am I rooting for here? Mid-round pick that's, you know, mid-round, first-round pick, or whatever it is, that's not going to give me immediate impact. If I believe that Tua is that good of a quarterback, and I do, I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, then as a fan, I'm happy about it, and I don't know why the league would find a problem with it beyond just the whole aesthetics of it.
If you miss on Tua, though, I mean, they are not leaving this to chance. They are the worst team in the NFL.
They've been outscored 51-5.
This is one of the worst. I mean, I think the season will bear this out to be true or not, but this has the potential to be one of the absolute worst teams of
ever.
The century.
Ever.
Ever.
Right.
Yeah.
No question. Not only are they gonna go winless, but I mean, if they're 32nd in offense, 32nd in defense.
Yeah. But you
trade your left tackle, you trade your one of your best receivers, you know, I mean...
Cornerback.
Right.
Yeah.
A promising young cornerback. You have 3 first-round picks now, next year.
Yeah. I just...
You're not a fan of it?
No. I don't... Listen, I think at the end of the day, what are your goals? Your goals are to win a Super Bowl. And if this is what you think is the best way to do that, then you have the freedom to do that. I don't have any issue with the attempt. I just am thinking, like, from a Dolphins fan base standpoint, this year it's exciting because of the potential of Tua. But the minute, and not saying he will, not saying that I'm right and you're wrong, But the minute Tua is not what they think he is, which you don't do this unless you think he's a savior, then you're in a really bad spot. Because the Browns had times through this stretch of ridiculously bad football, had decent supporting cast. They had a, you know, you take away the quarterback,
right?
And they weren't as bad as their record said. Their quarterback and their string of quarterbacks, the Spurgeon wins of the world, made them way worse. And there was definite turmoil and dysfunction. But man, I don't know. I worry that the Dolphins are in the beginning stages of a Browns-like run of dysfunction.
Although, haven't they already? I mean, they're basically still trying to replace Dan Marino at this point.
No, that's true. I mean, they haven't been very good. They have not been relevant really since Ricky Williams, right?
Yeah.
The Ricky Williams' first foray into the NFL was the last time they were actually relevant. And
but here's the reality of the situation. Okay. Because I think a fallacy in this is, well, look at Dak Prescott. Look at Tom Brady. Look at...
Those guys are tough to find in the... Yeah.
They're impossible.
Yeah.
Most, if not all, or 80% of starting quarterbacks in the NFL are first-round picks. And then a even larger percentage of those guys are first or second overall picks. I mean, you go through every team's starting quarterback, literally they're all first or second overall picks, almost all of them, with a few exceptions. Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees was the final pick of the first round, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott. But everybody else, these are first, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, everybody else, these are first overall, second. So the point being, you tank so you get the guy that carries your franchise for a decade plus. And if you miss, well, then you're the Bears. You're a team that's set up to win with a quarterback that's not, it's not going to help you win. But I think the prospect there is because you tank to get the franchise quarterback that you seek, because the league says you have to have a franchise, you have to draft first or second overall to have a franchise quarterback.
Let me ask you this. There aren't rules in place that deter teams from tanking. Thus, I have no issue with it. Do you think that whether it's the NFL, the NBA, whatever the league is,
no,
should put more rules in place to deter that?
No, because I don't, like, I don't think there's a problem here. Fans of teams that are tanking like that. They embrace it.
I don't either. I agree with, well, I'd say that to some degree, yes, but attendance is going to be way down. And I'm sure, you know, the teams don't control their own TV. You know, they don't have their own TV. It's an NFL
thing. It's bad for the league, but I don't know that it's bad for teams. If that's the way that, I mean, you're right. It's really bad for the league. That's why the NBA is trying to do things to curb it. Because the TV deals, all this stuff. It's just bad for everything. But overall, I think fan bases embraced it. I mean, the 76ers fan base embraced it, even though it was like 3 years.
Yeah. I think in the NBA, you're not on an even playing field because of the way that their CBA is structured. And that's the only way for teams to get a leg up, like Milwaukee or Memphis or, you know, whatever, random mid-market team. Heck, the Jazz made some shrewd moves, and then they hit on Donovan Mitchell in the lottery. I don't know that you need to do that as much in the NFL, but I don't know what rules you can put in place. Like, I hear people ask the question I asked, and I simply asked it to get your thoughts, not because I think that it should go that way, but I don't know what rules. What rules would you put in place to deter that? I don't know that those rules would be worth changing the continuity that you have now.
Here's what'd be interesting. Tua has kind of a known dad who's really intense, right?
Yeah.
What if Tua says he's not going to play for the Dolphins? Which happens a lot in football.
Yeah, I mean, heck,
John Elway, Eli Manning.
I don't.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, it would. Again, I'm not sold. That's the worst thing because I don't know that Tua is going to be that great. But I mean, I guess there's a risk
maybe
in that.
Maybe they'll settle for JT Daniels. And then in that case,
gosh, if you could ever short sell, like if you could ever get like just short sell every USC quarterback of the last decade plus. I mean, heck, even Matt Leinart wasn't any good.
You have a score prediction for Dolphins Cowboys?
A lot to a little. I think
51-5.
No, I think I put...
Dolphins get a safety in there?
I think... So, seven. I think the Dolphins score 10. I think they'll give the 33 to 10. The Cowboys are
like
the Dolphins.
That. 33 to 10. I'll go...
The Cowboys cover.
I'll go 35 to 7.
Okay.
I'll go 35 to 7. This is Star Chat. Make sure to share it with your friends. Tell your friends. Go shout it from the rooftops. I don't know. Help us find more people and tweet us at Ari Sports at Jared Sandler.
We got another... Duncan had a two-part question. Sure. I want to ask you. I'll just let you take this one. What are your thoughts on Travis Frederick and how is he look coming back?
Great. I think so much. Joe Looney was really good physically last year.
And really funny.
And he's awesome.
But Travis is funny too.
Travis and Joe Looney might have the two best personalities on the team. Amari Cooper's there too. But the thing that Joe Looney lacked is the chemistry, the knowing, like with Zach Martin. You know, Travis and Zach Martin have played together until last year, every game that, you know, that Zach Martin's been in the league. And the communication and the, like, all of the pieces, the leadership positions, Looney couldn't have that. He couldn't have that expertise. So he was at a major disadvantage. After two games, this is back to being one of the most dominant offensive lines in football, which is the thing that we were hoping to see. We've seen it, and we're not going to see much resistance against this Dolphins front. So, but I would say, and I expected that Travis, like the biggest thing with Travis was getting the weight back, because that's, he lost so much weight from Guillain-Barré syndrome that it, for me, like I knew he'd be fine, it, just as long as he was able to put the weight back on and get back and you know, in shape. And if you know Travis, you know, his work ethic isn't going to be something you're going to question. No. So I never had any doubts that Frederick would be fine.
All right, two things. I want to quickly just look around the league. But first, you mentioned Amari Cooper. He made that analogy about ketchup on a hamburger, discussing his chemistry with Dak Prescott. Interesting choice. What food pairings do you think would actually be better served to demonstrate top-notch chemistry than ketchup on a hamburger?
There's a lot of them, aren't there?
Well, yeah, I just want to know what stands out to you. I mean, I figured, like, you got Chicago ties. Like, I thought maybe you'd say sauerkraut on a hot dog or
something.
That's
New York-style hot dog. There's no sauerkraut or Chicago-style dog.
What do they do? What, I thought there was sauerkraut.
No, it's mustard, relish...
relish, that's
sport,
right.
Sport peppers.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Onions, awful. Tomatoes, horrible. But no ketchup.
Horrible.
No ketchup on a hot dog, yeah, Chicago style.
No.
I don't know. What, macaroni and cheese?
I don't. It's a person. There's not like a right answer. I'm just curious, like, what food pairings are like big for you? Like, for me, it'd be whipped cream on a waffle. But like, that's very weird for
that
other
people.
That
is really weird. That's really weird.
You know, meat on a pizza. Like, I love Meat Lover's Pizza.
Yeah, or just meat on a meal. Like, I'm the opposite of a vegetarian. It's not a meal to me unless there's meat on,
yeah,
it. Yeah. That's funny. You're like, there's no right answer. It's just what
give
you
me
like.
Your answer, dude.
All right, ketchup on a hamburger.
That's your answer? Okay, let's look around.
The literally exact same one. How about macaroni, cheese on macaroni? Macaroni and cheese. Have you ever had macaroni pasta without cheese?
Well, yeah. I mean, probably, yeah.
Sometimes I can eat like a six-year-old. What do you want from me? You're looking at me like you're very judgmental. It's macaroni and cheese. Do you not like macaroni and cheese?
I mean, I think macaroni and cheese is okay. I think it's all right. A lot of empty calories there, but no, it's good. I think you
watching
know,
your figure,
the gourmet, obviously not.
So to weight loss for you,
cheese or meat on pizza. all right, what? Let's go around the NFL. Awful game tonight.
Yeah, Tennessee Jacksonville.
I have no thoughts.
I have zero.
Although
thoughts.
I'm rooting for Gardner Minshew to be good because he's got an awesome personality.
And he's
it
great.
Would be awesome for him to.
He's great, and Mike Leach is awesome, and he had a great year last year at Wazoo. Those, you know, Pac-12 after dark games. I know you're in on those. So
yeah, this is gonna be a boring game though because these two teams play like an incredibly slow pace. There's
yeah.
No, and they're not good offensively either. Like they're slow teams offensively. They're good. They're not. So
this seems like the same. Like I feel like every Thursday night football game is Tennessee Jacksonville. Like every week, I don't know why. It's just like, if you were to say to me, what teams are synonymous with playing on Thursday night football? I would say Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's fair. So Packers Broncos, if there's a 2-0 team that on the NFC side that you think is fraudulent.
You really think the Packers are bad?
I do.
You think they're the worst 2-0 team ever?
No, I think the Bills, well, they're not the worst ever. I think the Bills on the AFC side are probably a little fraudulent, although Josh Allen's been he's been all right.
Where is the game?
The game's in Green Bay.
Yeah, Denver is really bad.
No, I'm not saying Packers are going to lose. I just think it's crazy that the Packers are going to go to 3-0 because
that's true.
They squeak by the Bears. I think there are a lot of flaws. I guess my point is this. I look at a lot of these things from a Cowboys angle. Do you need to fear Well, any 3-0 team is now going to be in the discussion. I don't think the Cowboys need to fear the Packers. They're going to kick their ass in Dallas.
Who's the Packers quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers. I get it.
You have to fear Aaron Rodgers.
I think long time.
Fear him.
Gosh,
have you seen the Packers and Cowboys play in the playoffs?
Let me tell you something, Ari. Aaron Rodgers has not been very good since that throw that he made to Jared Cook. He's been good. It's not like he's been bad.
Right.
But
no,
Aaron Rodgers has not been an elite quarterback. And look at the numbers.
Oh, he's older and he's had a lot of injuries in his career.
The line has been, I mean, he has just gotten all sorts of...
destroyed.
So, but
I still, in a playoff game, like, I don't care how bad he...
I get it.
He's the one, you know, they always do this. You got one start. Who's your guy?
He's your guy.
Rodgers has ripped everybody's hearts to shreds so many times.
That's fair. Bills, Bengals. Bengals aren't very good.
But this is how you, like, this is how you, if you're the Bills, this is how you have a rebound year, right? Like,
you got to win these games,
right. You have an easy schedule. The Bills are a bad 2-0 team, but they're about to be 3-0, and you feast on bad teams.
You bank those wins. I mean, it's only a 16-game season. You bank those wins, you're in good shape. Anything interest you about Colts, Falcons? Colts are favored in this one.
I feel like I don't know anything about these two. Like, I feel like both these teams could be playoff teams. I feel like both these teams could be really bad. And especially now with Carolina going through what they're going, like, the division's there for them. They have the best quarterback in the division right now in Atlanta. And so, like, go take it, Atlanta. This is your opportunity here. But, you know, they just don't have a good running game. Their offensive line's questionable and injury-ridden. Their defense is not good. And I don't know. I feel like the Colts can still be good. I really like Frank Reich. I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in football.
All four of the teams in Atlanta's division have a negative plus-minus through 2 weeks. That's not a good division. And it's injury-related.
Right.
Cam Newton has been bad. Jameis Winston just is bad. And now Drew Brees is hurt.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for Chiefs-Ravens. Good defense.
Where is that game?
It's in Kansas City. But Lamar versus Pat, that's a pretty fun matchup.
Yeah. Is that the best game of the weekend?
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, Browns-Rams is exciting. That's the Sunday night game. But the Browns, you know, I don't know that they're good enough to compete with the Rams on that level. But
not excited for that Bears-Redskins Monday night game?
No, not so much.
How many more starts until Dwayne Haskins is starting?
You know what? I don't know. Definitely this week was not the right week to do it. I wouldn't Monday night, Bears.
You throw Case Keenum out there to be destroyed by Khalil Mack.
Maybe you want to do it against the Giants, but then you got the Patriots. I guess they can do it whenever. I don't like Dwayne Haskins. I don't think he's going to be any good. So I'm not like Daniel Jones I was intrigued by. I mean, he had such a great training camp, and I also was inclined to root for the guy because everyone immediately ripped the Giants and said they were absolute morons for making the pick. So my inclination is, well, wait a second. I mean, let's not like act like this is an absolute here.
Right. No, good point.
But I don't know. I mean,
Texans Chargers is a good game.
Yeah.
Lions Eagles could be a decent game.
I'm trying to think if there's anything like stands out. I mean, I feel bad for the Jets. You know, I was one of the people that thought they had a chance to sneak in as a wild card.
And we both did.
Yeah, and then Sam Darnold gets mono, and they just don't look good. Was Le'Veon Bell crying on Monday?
He was.
What was the deal there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe he's like he realized he was on the Jets, like one of those like, oh God, life comes at you fast.
No. Vikings Raiders. The Vikings should win that game. They're nearly double digit point favorites.
Yeah, you had them winning that division, right?
I did.
And they're 3-0. No, 1-1.
1-1. I'm really confused.
They lost to your Packers.
I like Kirk Cousins. I've always defended him. He looked horrendous on
Kirk
Sunday.
Cousins loves turning the ball over. He's big on
turning
the ball over.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of them now. I really thought that Kirk Cousins was good enough for them to win the division, and I'm not so certain because he's got weapons. Dalvin Cook looks so good.
265 and 3 touchdowns.
He looks so good. And then you got Thielen and Diggs. Kyle Rudolph isn't Evan Engram or you know, one of these stretch the field tight ends, but he's a great safety net. Hmm. He's got the weapons, but man, he just loves to not throw the ball to his weapons. I don't get it.
Yeah, who's gonna win, Ravens or Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs win. I'll tell you what. I listen. Pat Mahomes is really good. The fact that he is off to the start he's off to. I mean, there's still 14 games left, and maybe he doesn't end up being as good as he was last year. My thought was, this guy's really good, but there's no way he can match last year, right? Now I'm like, wait a second. He can actually go harder than last year? Because Sammy Watkins, I mean, heck, dude. Tyreek Hill was out, and they didn't miss a beat.
Right.
DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, and then obviously got Travis Kelce.
Like, this point last year, everybody was like, "Yeah, I mean, look at, they've got Kareem Hunt and they've got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce." They got, and now a year later, it's like, well, Kareem Hunt didn't last, and their running game didn't lose anything. They're without Tyreek Hill, and he, I mean, doesn't matter. Sammy Watkins has done nothing in his career, and now all of a sudden he's become the guy that everybody thought he was as a first-round pick.
How big is this game for the Saints? They go to Seattle, and then they play Dallas. I mean, the Saints are looking at a very likely 1-3 start.
Yeah, it's
and that's a team that I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
I think we both did, if I'm not mistaken. If Drew Brees was there, they probably would. And without him, I don't know that this team can stay competitive. I guess we'll see this week, because obviously with the Cowboys and Saints on Sunday Night Football the following week, you know, we won't really know truly what this team looks like with Teddy Bridgewater until we see, you know, a week of preparation this week in Seattle.
The game's in Seattle.
That's going to be a tough one for Teddy.
All right, wrap up. I just want to say one thing. Pretty pumped that Ted Emmerich is going to be calling the game next week. I'm a little chapped by one thing. I've seen people – this is not – now I'm biased. Ted's one of my best friends. This is not some charity thing because of his dad. I saw some people tweet this, and I just have to get it off my chest. So, like, some people say, oh, it's so cute, like, you know, to honor Roger, his dad who passed away, and his dad's got ties in New Orleans. Ted Emmerich is one of the best flipping broadcasters in the United States of America. He absolutely
really
earned this, and Cowboys fans are going to be so thrilled listening to him on Sundays. And I wouldn't be surprised if whenever Mr. Sham decides to hang it up, if you're going to listen to the long-term voice of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not forcing Brad out. If Brad wants to broadcast for one more year, 7 more years, 27 more years, whenever that finish line comes, I'm pulling for Ted to be the next guy.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to pass up Ted. You're right. Well said. And anybody that thinks that, this is – like, they don't just let you be the broadcaster of the Cowboys.
Yeah,
just because, like, your dad – you know, passed away. Like, that's not how this works.
I've seen enough people on Twitter tweet insinuations in that.
Those two things are completely unrelated.
I wanted to just, it's an even cooler story because of it.
Right.
But that's not why.
Right. Yeah. So. Well said, buddy. Jared Sandler, Ari Temkin, Star Chat right here weekly on the 105.3 The Fan podcast network.
Big network.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.